welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, weevi, va, kat, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation. In the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Back on the air now after taking a week off. It's a rare occurrence over the past 13 years of broadcasting the show. But I drove down to Southern California for the annual Natural Products Expo, probably my most favorite weekend of the year. I really do enjoy it when I see all the great new food, health, and personal care products. We'll be reviewing some of them later in the program with Sherry Spolarich, who is the manager of the Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga, who will be ordering many of those products that we saw at the Anaheim Convention Center, which went on and on forever. I'm so amazed. I had appointments to see people, and I couldn't find them. There were exhibition halls that I didn't even know existed, packed. I mean, things are happening in our world, and I must note, you know, on labeling and on signage at the expo, no product said plant-based. The word being used is vegan, and it really would be good if those using the confusing, somewhat meaningless term plant-based would instead use vegan, you know, like the food industry does. I want people to go vegan. I do not promote going plant-based. Just based on how appetizing these terms are. You know, if someone says to me, oh, you're vegan, what do you eat? And I say, plants. Well, see you later. Yes, I had scrambled ferns for breakfast and a philodendron sandwich for lunch. What does plant-based mean anyway? I don't even know. I've thrown a bunch of leafy greens on my plate, you know, as a base upon which I will build, a bunch of chicken livers or something. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Or do my foods come from a manufacturing plant? You know, like maybe from an Oscar Mayer plant or Kraft or Sara Lee. I don't know. People are making things so complicated and incomprehensible because of fear of the word vegan, huh? I know you don't want to be considered, you know, a softy on animals, right? You know, caring about animals seems so not medical, so not scientific. Even though I would suggest it is built into our very cells. You know, there is science to empathy. I'm sure there's science to revulsion, looking at decomposing animal body parts. But why complicate it, huh? I don't understand that. Vegan is simple. Foods from fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, legumes. No meat, dairy, fish, eggs, honey. I mean, it shouldn't be that confusing. But I can understand some of the confusion because, well, with vegans like Ellen, who needs vegans like Ellen? She seems to be making up what vegan is all by her selfie. I hadn't heard of that term selfie before Ellen's Oscar selfie production. Okay, I now know a new word. Taking a picture of yourself in a mirror or at arm's length with a smartphone or digital camera for posting in social media. Selfie. I now know a new word. Just like Ellen's audience learned a new word a few years ago, which is vegan. But I had no idea that Ellen's use of the word would become such a joke. because her behavior is anything but vegan. So for her Oscar selfie show, Ellen orders cow cheese pizza for her audience and celebs in attendance. People run to make excuses for her when I complain about this. She, you know, they say she probably didn't have creative control to order vegan pizzas. It was probably in her contract to order cow cheese pizza from a chain whose menu is awash in meat and dairy. Well, years ago, Bob Barker had the decency to decline to appear on programs featuring fur. I mean, don't tell me Ellen doesn't have clout. Anyone we know by first name only has clout, okay? But somehow, a delivery box of cow rape, kidnapping, and murder becomes a comedic opportunity for Ellen. Feeding the stars and the spectators pus-filled carcinogens is somehow entertaining for vegan Ellen. And then to top it all off, she raises $3 million and couldn't do more harm to animals than what she did. You know, donating $1.5 million of it to Animal Abusers and Killers, the Humane Society of the United States, which is more likely to supply fleshy sausage and pepperoni toppings for pizzas than any sort of compassionate message for animals or promoting veganism, and then, you know, promoting the HSUS message about animals is eat them. And then Ellen gave the other $1.5 million to the Animal Abusers and Killers at St. Jude's for vivisection, as cruel experiments torture animals in search of a cure for diseases caused by, the pizza that Ellen had delivered. But what's a little animal experimentation to the chicken egg-eating vegan Ellen, who was the face of CoverGirl Cosmetics for so many years, a subsidiary of Procter & Gamble, perhaps the number one worst corporation when it comes to animal experimentation? Ellen knew all about CoverGirl and Procter & Gamble, yet signed multiple contracts because, a celebrity can never have enough money. You know, you might need some cash to cover some pizza delivery, and maybe she didn't make enough dough from the $47 million sale of one of her houses recently. And if you're still, seeing that halo above Ellen's head because she has somehow identified or misidentified herself as a vegan, well, there is Halo, her dog and cat food company, packaging plenty of dead animals, chickens, turkeys, salmon, lamb, cow, pig. And Vegan Ellen is so proud to feature chicken instead of chicken meal. Ellen's chicken supposedly doesn't contain the 4 Ds that chicken meal can. Ellen says, just fresh chicken, no explanation needed. From all the discussion we've had on this program concerning chicken consumed by humans, you know, the filth of foster farms, salmonella, antibiotics, chicken being fed arsenic, well, from Ellen, no explanation needed. So vegan Ellen's chicken is good, but chicken meal, the 4 Ds are bad, permitted. And the 4 Ds are diseased, dying, dead, and disabled chickens. Well, wait a minute. Is Ellen saying that the chicken in Halo dog and cat food is still alive? Wait a second. Isn't the chicken dead in her food? She's such a confusing vegan. Even more so when she goes horseback riding, wearing leather. Horses in leather, too. The horses on her property kept in small, separate stalls. You know, I'm not so sure I'm thrilled when I hear that a celebrity has gone vegan. I know celebrities may want to identify with what's trendy and look like he or she is associated with the right social justice movements, but then people look at the celebrities and think, oh, cheese pizza must be vegan. Wearing leather must be vegan. Eating eggs must be vegan. Animal research must be okay with vegans, and vegans probably support the Humane Society of the United States, when in reality, HSUS and Ellen do veganism so bad. I mean, they're really not even vegan, really. Before Ellen was vegan, I really thought she was funny. Now it's like tragic comedy. But it happens regularly with these celeb types. Angelina, Steve-O. I mean, Steve-O goes running around saying how bad it is to eat meat, and then he terrorizes and kills animals for laughs on his TV show. You know, we don't really need celebrities to champion the cause of veganism. Vegans are the real-life heroes. They are the real-life celebrities. Actors and actresses are make-believe, you know, big-screen heroes because they pretend well while saying words written by others. Real vegans are the real-life celebrities to me. So there you have it with Ellen. So, coming up on today's program, as I mentioned, we will be talking to Sherry Spolarich. As I said, I just got back from the wonderful expo in Anaheim, and I'm going to look through my bag of goodies here and see what stands out in my mind as some of the exciting products there, and we'll see what Sherry says. She has a little more clout. I said Sherry, right? Known by one name only. Yeah, she'll be ordering the product, so she's coming up. And also, I want to remind you that we have Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione coming up next hour. We will be talking to him then. You know, while I was in Southern California, I was scouting around for a location for a potential vegan summit and expo for next year. Still working on that. I'm getting proposals. I'm looking at sites. But you might take your pencil, just pencil in on the calendar, March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015. And, of course, we'll be talking a lot more about that in the shows coming up as we develop that. But I really do think that there is the need to have our own vegan summit and conference, don't you? Yes. And I invite you to support this program. You can become a sponsor, an advertiser. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. You can also support us with a tax-deductible donation. Visit the website where you can find hundreds of free archives and click donate at goveganradio.com. At GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, and a couple of Bob Linden Facebook pages that are usually maxed out, but you might get in on one or two of them depending upon who gets upset with me over what I'm discussing on air. So, you know, I really enjoy heading down south from Northern California to Anaheim for the Natural Products Expo. But, you know, I'm looking forward to all the samples down there, but I always lose my appetite when I hit the San Joaquin Valley, Interstate 5, when we pass that Cowschwitz, that concentration camp on the side of the road there, Harris Ranch. And what always amazes me, you know, because, you know, that odor just hits you as you're driving along. Usually as you want to reach for something, an apple or, you know, nuts or something, then, you know, you just lose your appetite. And then you think, I don't even want to taste anything when I get to Anaheim. But what's amazing to me is that there's an inn and restaurant there. You know, like there are 153 rooms in the inn, you know, so, you know, people stay there, you know, they open their window for air at night, and it's, you know, the smell of 100,000 cows right next to them. And there's a restaurant. I mean, how can you not lose your appetite as you come close to that place? But there it is. And I took a look at the menu just
you know.
Not that I would ever eat there. There are many fruits and vegetables on the menu, but, you know, what's mainly there, as you can tell by the stench that draws you to the restaurant, it's beef on the menu, you know. So the main items are pot roast, beef stew, beef liver, onions, ground sirloin, marinated tri-tip, top sirloin, barbecue beef. And, you know, what's amazing to me is that this restaurant has ranked in the top 10 in California, top 60 nationwide. I do not understand that it's California's, this Harris Ranch is California's largest beef producer and largest ranch on the West Coast, producing 150 million pounds of beef annually. It supplies the so-called meat to In-N-Out Burger, Skin and Snout, Skin and Snout. That's what a hamburger is all about. The trucks there were charbroiled, by the way, by the ALF in January of 2012, and arsonist destroyed 14 cattle trucks. I just couldn't eat there. I mean, if I were driving, you know, from the Bay Area down south and were with, you know, people who ate flesh, that wouldn't be a good compromise for me. You know, everything. I just couldn't do it. And next week, on next week's program, the subject will be supporting your local vegan restaurants. And I'll have my old friend Mike Weinberg on the program. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, great, you know, we have a vegan choice at Chipotle or Subway or whatever. But I don't want to support those places. And I'm concerned about crust contamination, you know, their cutting boards, their knives, all of that. And why don't you either on Twitter or Facebook or bob@goveganradio.com, let me know what your favorite local vegan restaurant is. And maybe we'll get to mention some of them. If you'd like to tell me reasons why, that would be good. Twitter @goveganradio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, bob@goveganradio.com. I'm hearing from some people saying, I don't have any vegan restaurants near me. And I tell them, well, you just need home delivery of vegan meals, like from Greenlight Meals. The website is greenlightmeals.com, GreenLITE meals.com. And you care about the environment, your family's health, the animals, just check out the menu at greenlightmeals.com. Breakfast choices include tofu scramble, breakfast burritos, banana walnut pancakes, Cinnabon, oatmeal, and more. Entrees include chipotle falafel with sweet potato burrito, baked bean and veggie chili, tofu fritters, I mean, root vegetable soup. It's just an amazing menu, really. Nothing like what just repulsed me, you know, at Harris Ranch. Yet, you do have snacks from jerky to trail mix to peanut butter cups, and for the kids, chickpea tenders with dipping sauce or mac and trees. Greenlight Meals even delivers delicious smoothies. So, desserts, you'll just love what you can get from Greenlight Meals. And you can get a fitness consultation from Melissa Bry. So check it out, greenlightmeals.com, greenlitemeals.com, vegan meals delivered to your home or office. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Let's check out what we saw at the Natural Products Expo coming up next on the program, goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com, now broadcasting for 13 years, as heard on Air America, CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, and now nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We are live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can click listen live at GoVeganRadio.com, where programs are archived. Or perhaps you are listening on a wonderful radio station in your area, like KCAA. which is in the Inland Empire, where Viva La Vegan Grocery is. And today we're going to talk to the manager of the largest vegan grocery store in the U.S. with over 6,000 vegan products there, Sherry Spolarich. How are you today?
I'm awesome. How about yourself?
Terrific. Well, you have a pretty exciting job. I did a number of live broadcasts from Viva La Vegan there a while back, and then headed up to Northern California. Yeah, so had a really good time there, but you weren't there yet. So how did you get such a wonderful job?
Magic of the universe.
Well, good. That's terrific. I mean, it has to be one of the fun jobs to have, and you're probably vegan
awesome.
Yourself.
Oh, absolutely. A little over 6 years now.
Oh, yeah. And how did that happen? What made you go vegan?
Honestly, food allergies.
Yeah?
Yep.
And that... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. That was, finally one day the straw that broke the camel's back with just being in misery. Enough was enough, and I haven't looked back.
Ah, and we're not even going to put any straws on camels' backs anymore, because we're
Exactly.
Exactly, right. In fact, we're liberating camels here today. We're liberating camels. I guess we would feed them hummus. I went to the Natural Products Expo, as you did in Anaheim, just this massive exposition of the coming foods and personal care products, household care items. And there's so much, I ran across so many wonderful products myself, but you would be making decisions on carrying them at Viva La Vegan Grocery. What excited you? What did you see at the Natural Products Expo that...
Oh, there's so much. We didn't even get through all of it. Sophie's Kitchen has a tuna coming out. I believe they said April or May, so it's an actual canned faux tuna that was amazing. Mm. Frika, it's a roasted green wheat. Comes in a couple different flavors. That's pretty exciting. One that I'm really excited about, Cousin Mary Jane's hemp-based pancake mix, completely vegan. Little mom-and-pop operation out of Colorado, I believe. They were mm-hmm. fabulous. That's actually already hit our shelves.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Sophie's. They've had a number of different seafood, vegan seafood offerings over the years, which I really like.
Yeah, yeah, they do. We carry almost all of them now. We've got the ones that we didn't carry on their way. So they have a coconut shrimp. They have calamari. They have scallops. I mean, pretty much any of your seafood likings, we have the vegan alternatives for those from Sophie's.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Emmy's macaroons, they are delectable. They're indulgent. Another tiny little operation we found. We're very excited. Those are on their way. Bee Free Honey. She's got a whole bunch of new flavors, a mint, a slippery elm, a couple other ones that we're looking into getting. Amy's Kitchen has a new green curry. Amazing. We'll be bringing that one in. Mm-hmm. What else did we see? We saw Beanfield has the chips, if you're not familiar. They've got a ranch and a barbecue. Both of them are vegan. Mm-hmm. So we'll be
which one was that?
In.
You said, what is that? What
Beanfield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're chips. They're made out of rice and beans, and they have a ranch and a barbecue chip coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So that's pretty exciting. Gardein, a fish stick. So incredible. They also have a meatloaf and a ground beef. We'll be bringing those in as well. I'm very excited about those. We actually got to try those. Those were amazing. Blue Monkey. They do coconut water, coconut chips, and cream. Those hit our shelves yesterday. Mm. Never have enough coconut water. Dea redid their pizzas. Yeah, the Blue Monkey is amazing. But the Dea redid their pizzas, reformulated them, and they're awesome. So we'll be getting the new updated versions. And Tofurky has a Supreme pizza coming out.
Oh.
That one was pretty exciting. And then for the ladies out there, Pacifica is 100% vegan makeup line. They just came out with a nail polish without the 7 top toxins. So there's a lot of toxins they put in nail polish, like formaldehyde, toluene, that cause cancer. Well, Pacifica just came out with a very affordable nail polish line that doesn't have any of these 7 toxins in them. also for the little girls, there's one called Piggy Paint. So it's nail polish for the little ones with the same toxin-free.
Hmm. So nail polish is highly toxic, huh? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, and it's not regulated by the FDA either, so they can put whatever they want in there.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty scary, and if you think about the little ones constantly putting fingers in their mouth, what are they chewing on? It's disgusting if you really think about it.
Right, and we should think about it, and then
you should.
And then, right, and then you said the new line of toxic-free nail polish is what then?
Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
They do a wonderful job. Their whole entire product line is completely vegan. And I'm excited about the stick eyeliner they came out with because it's really, really hard to find a stick eyeliner that's not beeswax-based, and her entire product line is vegan. But a lot of companies you'll find, you can pick and choose a few things that are vegan. Well, she's straight-up vegan all the way, so that's really exciting. We'll be bringing that one in, as well as the Piggy Pink, too, for the little ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. There's a couple other things that weren't necessarily at Expo, but they're new to us. Nomu, completely vegan ice cream. She's got a almond based, and they have a coconut based, and they sweeten it with dates, so there's no added sugar, and it's my new addiction, honestly. She's got amazing flavors like banana cinnamon and a spicy chocolate.
I ran across a couple of ice creams, vegan ice creams, that I liked at the expo. One was Nadamu. Are you familiar with Nadamu? Nadamu?
Yeah, we saw them as well.
Yeah, so they had a delicious coconut ice cream. And Mr. Dewey's.
Didn't see that one.
They have cashew and almond, and they're spectacular. And he kept giving me, like, these big scoops to taste, but saying, like, I know you're probably sampled out, you know, don't feel like you have to finish it all. And it's like, no, more, give me more, you know? So,
right, but you left that expo stuff, didn't you?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, go ahead.
Something else we saw there, Molly Suds, we'll be bringing that in as well as laundry detergent, and there's no nasty chemicals in it. It smells amazing. It works great. Took a few samples home, and I'm in heaven, so we're going to be bringing that one in.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about Molly's.
Yeah. I noticed my friends from Whole Soy, who generally are known for yogurt, were there. They've kind of been off the shelves, and I think that they were starting their own manufacturing facility. So now they'll be back, but I had noticed I've been looking for Whole Soy yogurt and not really finding it, and I guess that's the reason why. So I saw them at the show, and we can expect Whole Soy to be back on the shelves soon, I hope. Yes?
Wonderfully, yes. We're working on that, as well as Coconut Grove. They've got an amazing vegan yogurt. Had some production issues going on, but I talked to the owner of the company, and he assured me that I believe by May that's supposed to be hitting the shelves again, too.
Mm-hmm. I like
and
Lily's.
And I really like that one.
Okay. And I liked Lily's hummus, Lily's organic hummus. You don't know if you...
Yep, we saw that. That was wonderful.
Yeah. And all sorts of wonderful items there. This pure gum, which is a vegan gum. You know, it's an aspartame-free gum that's around internationally. Or
uh-huh.
Do you know that one, a PUR?
Yep, we carry that one in the store.
Yeah, I'm trying to test you a little to see, like, what's in the store, what you're going to be having.
Did you make it by the Begley and Bills display?
No, I did not. Tell me about it.
It's an all-natural soda. It's Ed Begley Jr.'s line, along with his partner Bill, and they've got all kinds of wonderful, wonderful flavors. They actually have a new coffee soda out, which we're going to be bringing in. But they have a strawberry, they have an orange, they have cola, your traditional cream sodas. There's a Bananas Foster soda, so if you're a soda junkie like I am, the sky's the limit with these guys.
Ah, and that's Ed Begley Jr.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one and only.
Good. Oh, we'll look forward to that hitting the shelves. I see that there was this company with it's called Nuco. It's from the Philippines, and they have coconut vinegar and, you know, a really good program for really a financial program for development in the Philippines based on the coconut. So I don't know. I'll have to get you to get some of these products in there. Then the blender girl invited me over to the booth to try all the Macelle broths that I guess they're in Australia for the last 30 years or so, and broths and bouillon, and I thought that was kind of interesting there too.
Speaking of soup, did you make it by Nona Lim?
No.
They've got some amazing, a coconut lemongrass soup, and then they had a green curry,
and who was that?
Amazing. We carry the Nona Lim.
I don't even know if I know that brand or.
Yeah, they make soups in these cute little pouches that are refrigerated, or you can put them in the freezer. And we have a couple of them, but they've got a coconut lemongrass and a green curry, and the green curry was killer. And oh, also, they have a vegan French onion, which is incredibly difficult to find. So we're very excited about that one.
That sounds good. I noticed that.
Now who's testing who?
Well, you have 6,000 items to try, right? So I mean,
no,
Viva
we're
La
closer
Vegan.
To 8,000 now.
Oh, up to 8,000. Okay. Oh, you're doing a good job there. When I was at the store, it was 6,000. You're up to 8,000.
Well, where have you been, Mister?
Well, I've been in Northern California. Where's Viva La Vegan up here? Come on, it's time for a Bay Area Viva La Vegan. Stay with me, Sherry. We have to take a break. We'll have a few more minutes after the break. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. The website is VivaLaVeganGrocery.com, and our website here is GoVeganRadio.com. With Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, and Bob Linden pages. Sherry, I mispronounced your name. Sherry, help me with it.
It's Spolarich.
Spolarich, okay, Spolarich.
There won't be a pop quiz, I promise.
Okay, all right. So, I apologize for that. So we were talking about visiting the Natural Products Expo, and it's so massive you really can't see it all. I mean, I had an appointment to see somebody in the 7,000 number booths, and I couldn't even find the 7,000. I got to 8,000. Oh, you need to go to the third floor, you know. So it's impossible to see everything, but and then
exactly.
You want to, but there's so much great stuff there, you know. I ran, you know, anything else that pops into your mind about what you saw there that you'd like to mention, or?
Yeah, there's a couple new flavors of coconut water from Harvest Bay. There's a pineapple, a pomegranate, and an orange mango, which I think is a nice spin on the coconut waters. There's some new veggie wraps we're looking into by Indian Life. There's a spinach veggie wrap that we had tried that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, I like Indian Life, yeah.
Yeah, you can never have enough Indian food, in my opinion.
Right, I agree. So, did you just open a cafe, a Mexican cafe at Viva La Vegan in Rancho Cucamonga?
We did. It's a cafe. We are currently serving Mexican food. We've had a couple variations of different specials for the weekend. This weekend we featured organic plantain tacos with organic mango salsa, which was amazing. So you guys got to come check it out.
Yeah, definitely. In Rancho Cucamonga, VivaLaVeganGrocery.com. I'm sorry I interrupted your discussion of food with a discussion of food there for a second. So.
No worries. I'm starting to suspect you may be hungry.
It all sounds good to me. I'm looking around at all the little samples I have here. Most of these are the, you know, like Pro Bar and, you know, a lot of really good little snack items that are still in my bags here somewhere. So
Yes, I have many of those bags myself.
Yeah. I like this veggie puree there. It was wild veggie puree that says recipe starter.
Yeah, I believe we carry the broccoli version of that and a beet one, too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a number of them. I thought they were pretty good, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of versatile, too. You wouldn't think with a veggie puree, but you can use it for a couple different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Really good.
Yeah, there's a new kombucha. That's a soda kombucha, so it's got the bubbles, and it's slightly sweet. There's a root beer-flavored one and an orange-flavored one we just brought in. We saw those down at Expo. Those were pretty interesting.
I think there might have been a cola, too,
yes.
In that group, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. There was a cola.
And in fact, I think they're from Austin, and I said, I just had the best, you know, vanilla ice cream from Nadamu. I think I'll go get some and bring it over and have it, you know, in your root beer and have a root beer float, you know? So I think Viva La Vegan will be selling root beer floats very soon for the summer.
You know? Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
We'll have
to call it the Bob Special.
Right. And the cola was really good, too, and the kombucha. That was pretty
exactly,
tasty.
Exactly. So excited about those. I found a little perfume company, all vegan, all essential oils, which is awesome because essential oils and fragrance oils are vastly different. She only uses essential oils. But her little company is called Tulip, and she's got all kinds of wonderful little perfumes and little body sprays and roll-ons and creams. So we'll be bringing that one in as well. And are you familiar with Modern Oats at all?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, oatmeals, little cups of oatmeals, so you can take them with you. They have a mango blackberry, kind of a traditional nuts and seeds, but they also had a chocolate cherry, which is phenomenal if you're a chocolate junkie like I am.
And I am.
I think most of us are.
Yeah, and I am. I like the Crunch Burgers. It's Q-R-U-N-C-H. They're a quinoa burger. I thought they were fairly tasty when I had them there. And some of the Dr. McDougall line, I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if you got to try any of those.
Yep, we carry both of those.
Terrific. Well, with 8,000 vegan items, chances are pretty good.
And counting.
And counting. So, okay. Well, we'll have to talk to you again in the near future. We are out of time. Thank you, Sherry, for being with us today. And I invite people to go to VivaLaVeganGrocery.com, and we will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We have expanded to 2 hours since beginning our national syndication through the Genesis Communications Network. We're live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. Programs are archived there, and next week's show will be about supporting your local vegan restaurants instead of getting all excited and going with your friends to some flesh market, you know, that has a choice, you know, to throw the vegans a bone, you know. Let us support our, you know, the people who are really dedicated to the cause, who operate on a shoestring budget, and have really the best food. I guess I'm just hungry. We've been talking so much about the great food that is at Viva La Vegan Grocery, and that was at the Natural Products Expo. And I would imagine that Vegetarian House would get a lot of votes for being favorite local vegan restaurant for people around the San Jose area. In fact, if you'd like to, via Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, or Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, on Facebook or the Bob Linden pages or my email, bob@goveganradio.com. Let me know what your favorite local vegan restaurants are and why that is so. Maybe we'll get to talk about some of them next week. Vegetarian House in San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street, has an amazing menu. Check it out, vegetarianhouse.us. And also, Vegetarian House does catering around the Bay Area to make any event special, whether it's a business conference or a wedding. Get in touch with Vegetarian House, 100% vegan, organic, non-GMO, many great raw choices available, great desserts, one of my favorite restaurants, for sure. Hey, did you see the article in? Oh, and by the way, Professor Gary Francione will be coming up this hour, actually a few minutes earlier than normal, because we took the week off last week. We have some catching up to do, so he'll be coming up shortly. Animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Did you see the article in the New York Times? The headline: cancer increasing among meat eaters. And quoting the article's first paragraph, Chicago scientists are deeply interested in the results of 2 years of exhaustive study of cancer in Chicago by Dr. G. Cook Adams of London and formerly of Australia, just made public through the Department of Health. Dr. Adams has proved conclusively that diet is a most important factor in the increase of the disease and its death rate, end quote. Did you hear that? Proven conclusively. Did you happen to miss that article in the New York Times? It does go all the way back to September 23rd, so you may not have it, lying around the house anymore. I'm sorry, that was September 23rd, 1907. Yes. So years before my mother and father were born, years before your grandparents, even your great-grandparents were born, the New York Times stated conclusively that meat eating causes cancer. 114 years ago, we knew what nobody seems to know today or want to know today, right? But Bobby, I want to take my kids to McDonald's, McDevils. I mean, how does a scientific study from 1907 apply today anyway? I mean, do we humans even have the same physiology as 1907 humans? Huh? That's practically the age of Neanderthals. Huh? We've evolved. We've adapted. Our body knows how to cope with a Big Mac, right? we're immune to it now, right? Well, please say we're immune to it because, we like the taste so much. And that's the only reason, right? But sorry, oh misguided eater of cancer-causing animal bodies and secretions. Half a million participants in an NIH AARP study published in 2009, and 120,000 participants in a 2012 Harvard study bring us to the same conclusion about meat eating and cancer as that 1907 New York Times article. And if 1907, 2009, and 2012 sound, like old news to you also, well, just published in March 2014 in Cell Metabolism, a study led by researchers Levine, Suarez, and Brandhorst of 6,381 Americans 50 and older concludes that a diet high in animal protein leads to earlier death. Those eating the most animal protein had 5 times the risk of death related to diabetes. And those under 65 who ate the most protein from animal sources had a 74% higher risk of dying from any cause and 4 times higher risk of death from cancer. So when somebody asks me, how do you get your protein, I just have to ask back, how do you avoid your animal protein? And, the study notes the importance of the reduction in consumption of insulin growth factor, IGF. I've discussed that on this program many times over the 13 years we've been broadcasting, insulin growth factor is very good at growing baby cows really big, you know, growing the four legs, the tail, the horns, all of that, but also very good at growing tumors in humans. So, and about this study, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine observed that risks for death were diminished or absent when protein sources were vegan. And more good health news for vegans, a study just published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition examined almost 1,700 participants separated into categories: meat eaters, fish eaters, vegetarians, and vegans. Of the four groups, vegans consumed the most dietary fiber and the least fat and saturated fat compared to meat eaters, fish eaters, and vegetarians, whatever that means. I don't understand what an animal-consuming vegetarian is, but okay. You want to feel good about only oppressing, you know, cows and chickens, fine with me. Vegans had the healthiest body weight and cholesterol levels. So that's what was concluded in this study. Vegans had the healthiest body weight and cholesterol levels. On March 7th, California State Assembly member Richard Bloom introduced the Orca Welfare and Safety Act, which would make it illegal to hold in captivity or use a wild-caught or captive-bred orca for performance or entertainment purposes. The Orca Welfare and Safety Act would also ban the artificial insemination of orcas in the state and import of orca semen into the state. Sorry, you fans of bestiality, you'll just have to continue your sexually deviant rape practices on cows and pigs for the meat eaters and dairy consumers who love those. And let's see, U.S. Representative Jim Moran of Virginia has introduced the Humane Cosmetics Act to ban tests on animals for cosmetics. Cosmetic animal experimentation has been banned in the European Union, Israel, and India. Unlike drugs, cosmetic and personal care product testing are not required in the U.S. If and when it is passed, the Humane Cosmetics Act would end such experimentation in a year after its passage. And then the sale of cosmetics and personal care products tested on animals within 3 years. So that is something that you might wish to support. James Moran of Virginia and Assemblymember Bloom in California. So those would both be really wonderful steps forward, I do believe. And so coming up in just a few minutes, we will have Professor Gary Francione, animal rights commentary. Global cancer rates, we were just talking about, are expected to hit 22 million new cases per year by 2030. So could this at all be in line with the increases in meat consumption that are expected? You know, there's supposed to be a 70% increase in meat consumption by 2050. And along with that, you have the Humane Society of the United States partnering with such people as the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization in implementing plans to meet the demand, the 70% increase in demand for animal products. And is it not sad that we're expected to hit 22 million new cases of cancer per year by 2030? And yet we're being sold all of this as being sustainable. And that's what's being marketed right now through the IFC, part of the World Bank, where everybody knows that what you have to do now to sell animal products is to make them seem that they are humane and sustainable. And we will be talking about that with Professor Gary Francione momentarily. The Humane Society of the United States coming up in just a few days is holding a symposium. It's recruiting new farmers, new pork producers. That has become the goal of the Humane Society of the United States. It wants more people to get into raping and killing pigs. And the language that it uses, I mean, to be considered the number one animal protection organization and recruiting people to kill animals and calling these people producers. That's what HSUS is calling the animal abusers it supports. It's very strange indeed. I want to wish a very happy birthday today to Charlie Rose. No, not him, but to her. A wonderful woman who has been helpful to this program over the years. Very dedicated to veganism and helping animals. Happy birthday, Charlie. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and my vegan animal liberation commentary is on KPFA Wednesday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour, kpfa.org, Pacifica Station in the Bay Area. But now we have our special guest commentator. We have animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione, the first academic to teach animal rights theory at an American law school. His website is abolitionistapproach.com, and his latest book is Eat Like You Care. Well, I missed speaking with you last week, Professor Francione, but Daisy and I really liked running up and down the beach, though. I have to tell you, we had a good time.
You were at some expo, were you not?
Yes, we went down to the Natural Products Expo in Anaheim, checking out all the great new vegan items coming our way. And I'm scouting for a location for us to do a vegan summit and expo ourselves. So I'm still working on that and hoping to get some proposals in shortly and see where we go.
Well, Bob, I think that there's nothing that's more important right now in terms of the vegan movement than that sort of event. We really do need, we're not going to change the movement. It's not going to change. It's just going to get worse. You know, I was talking today with my partner and my co-author on Eat Like You Care, Anna Charlton, and I was mentioning that when I wrote Rain Without Thunder in 1995, the thesis of that book was that the animal rights movement was embracing more and more welfare reform campaigns, and that if this continued, it would cause the collapse of the animal rights movement, and that that animal advocates and animal organizations would become largely indistinguishable from animal exploiters. And but by the way, when that book came out, I received enormous amounts of criticism from the movement that claimed that I was just being cynical and negative, and that nothing of what I was predicting would occur, and that things were moving in the right direction, etc. And now we have in 2014 a disaster that. The extent of which not even I anticipated in 1995. I guess I never thought that in a mere matter of 20 years things could get so bad. But, you know, this past week I saw something that troubled me. and I know you've seen it as well, and that is an ad that appeared. The Humane Society of the United States, Nebraska Agriculture Council, is looking for pig farmers in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa to raise certified global animal partnership step one pigs for a company that has a value-added crate-free pork market. This is an opportunity for beginning farmers and for conventional farmers who want to transition away from crates. And then they give a meeting, a March 29th meeting at the South Omaha Library in Omaha, Nebraska. And this is put out by the Humane Society of the United States. So you have HSUS is actually advertising, trying to get pig farmers to produce step one global animal partnership pork. By the way, the global animal partnership, has, it's a five-step animal welfare rating program. It's a five-step program. And this is step one. So, you know, step two is they get outdoor, or they get some sort of enriched indoor environment. Step three is outdoor exposure and et cetera. So this is the first step of the animal welfare rated happy pork. And, I mean, not that step five would make it, you know, I mean, not that it would make it any better, but they're not even going to the fifth level of the Global Animal Partnership rating system. They're advertising for farmers who want to produce step one pork.
And do you know what the Global Animal Partnership says is step one? It says basically not in cages. So you could have hundreds of pigs in a barn. It's an unlimited.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It just says no crates or cages.
No crates or cages. Okay, we'll continue. We have to take a break with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can click Listen Live or the archives at GoVeganRadio.com. And this is our commentary segment with Professor Gary Francione. And I was, like you, Gary, very shocked this week to see this release from the Humane Society of the United States. And apparently you and I have been criticized for the same thing for a long time, because I have been complaining that how do we differentiate animal advocates from animal killers and abusers? And people think I'm talking metaphorically, or I'm trying to be sensational. I'm a radio talk show host. I'm trying to incite people. And then here we have the ad that the Humane Society of the United States is actively recruiting pig farmers, animal killers, but it calls them producers. You know what I mean? It's like, I, as an animal advocate, don't really like to call, you know, an animal rapist and murderer a producer. You know, they're in the pork business. This is big ag. I can't tell the difference anymore.
Well, you know, Bob, in the book I wrote in 95, Ran Without Thunder, I actually had a chapter which started off with quotes from animal exploiters and quotes from animal advocates, and I didn't identify them, and I asked the reader, who do you think, you know, where do you think these fit in the exploiter category or the advocate category? And the interesting thing is that what the advocates were saying in 95, or what they were starting to say in 95, was really indistinguishable from what the animal exploiters, the institutional animal exploiters were saying. So, you know, it's only gotten worse. And now we have HSUS actually advertising for pig farmers. And And you know, and we have, you know, look, things
well,
change.
It's run by a pig farmer. I mean, the person most influencing HSUS is its vice president, Joe Maxwell, who personally kills 50,000 pigs every year for profit. So, I mean, it's no surprise the pig farmers are in management positions now.
But you know, look, the reality is, though, you can't, I mean, as bad as HSUS is, the problem is that they're not the only rotten apple in the barrel. And, you know, the most recent, or I think the most significant phase of the happy exploitation movement really was kicked off in 2005 when, you know, when a very deliberate effort was made to give public support to Whole Foods in its campaign to promote happy exploitation, and where we had Peter Singer signing a letter of congratulations to Whole Foods, congratulating them and expressing appreciation and support. That's a quote, appreciation and support for the pioneering, that's another quote, the word pioneering was used as an adjective, the pioneering program of happy exploitation that Whole Foods had. And it was signed by HSUS, but it was also signed by PETA and by Vegan Outreach and by Farm Sanctuary and by Mercy for Animals and by Compassion Over Killing and Animal Place and a number of other entities. And so really, as bad as HSUS is, and they clearly are...
They seem to be the leader, I mean, really.
Yeah, right, they're the leader, but... These other organizations, even including PETA, are sort of following along with this, and giving their support to this sort of thing, and it's just wrong. It's just wrong. But look, I think it's important for your listeners and for everybody who's concerned about this. We're not going to change this. You know, it's been going in this direction for 20, 25 years now. I mean, it started in the early 1990s, or at least I believe it did, and that's why I wrote that book in the mid-1990s, was because I thought it was getting pretty bad. And so, you know, we're not going to change this. And so what we need to do is just get outside of it, step outside of it and accept the fact that that aspect, you know, just because we all talk about animals, just because we talk about animals and Farm Sanctuary talks about animals, doesn't mean we're really talking about the same thing anymore. And I think it's important for us to recognize that. This is not one movement. It never really has been, but it's now absolutely clear that the large animal charities have become active, explicit partners with animal exploitation. And they're involved in, they're promoting it, they're profiting from it. They're making money off of this by promoting this stuff. Wayne Pacell sits on the board of directors of the Global Animal Partnership. All of these organizations are profiting from happy exploitation, all of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, we really just need to recognize this is it. This is it. That's not salvageable. And we can't really retrieve it. And so what we need to do is to focus on grassroots efforts. And, you know, I think a lot of young people are really disgusted with it. And I think they see through this stuff. I mean, some don't, but many do. And I think that, you know, they're pretty upset about, you know, what's happening. And I think that there's a real chance now that we can build the grassroots movement that we should have built in the 1980s. We never really should have handed it over to these large corporations, because it should have been clear what would happen, and what's happened is exactly what we should have recognized would happen. But I think it's important for us to build that movement. And so when you mentioned before having some alternative site and event for people to get together and talk about vegan activism and creative, nonviolent vegan advocacy, because there's so much to be done, and there's so many really interesting things that we can do. And you know, Bob, and I know, that when you're out there doing creative vegan advocacy and you're educating people, people respond. This idea that, well, people won't go vegan overnight. Well, you know what? They won't go vegan. A lot of them won't go vegan overnight, but The bottom line is we need to make the message clear and let people decide how they're going to respond. And, you know, and the idea that we would say, well, people aren't going to go vegan overnight, so we're going to promote happy exploitation is not the right way to go. The right way to go is to make clear that if you care about non-human animals, if you regard them as members of the moral community, then you don't have a choice. You can't eat them, wear them, use them. That's that you're committed to that once you say animals aren't things. It's not rocket science. It's not particularly complicated. But once you accept that they're members of the moral community and that they're not things, that commits you to certain behavioral changes in your life, including you don't eat them anymore. And it's not just a question of flesh. It's a question of flesh and dairy and eggs and honey and all that stuff. Once they matter, once animals matter morally, then that choice is no longer your choice. You know, you have to, you are morally obligated to choose differently. And I think that we need to build a movement around that idea. And it's an idea I think that people are, to use a pun, perhaps hungry for, in the sense that I think people really do respond to it. You know, Anna and I gave a talk at Temple University last week, and I don't know, there were 80, 90 people there. Apparently it was the largest gathering they had in that particular speaker series. And it was at, you know, it was at a dinner time. It was like 6:15 on a Monday, on last Monday night. And a lot of people showed up, and we had a number of people coming up to us afterwards saying, you know, I never thought about this before. I care about animals, but I'm really confused about how to think through this, and this has really helped me, and I'm going to give veganism a try. We got several emails after the event from people who said, we're going to give veganism a try. I mean, we can do this. We can get, you know, we can get a chunk of the population, a significant chunk of the population, turned on to veganism, and that will not make everybody go vegan, but it will result in a change of discussion. We'll change the conversation and get it away from the focus that the large animal groups have put on it, and focus it in the direction that we want to see it go. That is, getting people to question how we can justify animal use at all. It's not a matter of treating them humanely. It's a matter of not exploiting them at all. And so I'm very excited about your suggestion that we have a conference or some sort of event where people can go and learn about these things rather than go to foolish events like the animal rights national conference that is held every year, where people go and listen to the same folks promote, the same partners with institutional exploiters promote happy exploitation, because that's what those conferences are about. I know. I went to it last year. I spoke at it last year, and I was horrified by the things that I heard and saw there.
Yeah, I was at the one the year before, but I was there as a protester. I crashed the conference, and I was handing out a flyer. I was so outraged that all of the groups who were so prominent were the ones who were supporting the egg bill and enriched cages and the greatest, one of the greatest betrayals of animals ever, betraying, you know, millions and millions of chickens. The groups you mentioned, you know, all doing that, yet being considered the leaders of the animal rights movement. Even Paul Shapiro, vice president of farm animal protection for HSUS, was on a panel on the future of animal rights. And, you know, he needs to resign his job because his employer is actively recruiting people to kill animals, and he's the protector of animals. It's really impossible to fathom. You know, it's they call themselves the number one animal protection organization, and you know, who's going to protect the animals from them? So, and you're exactly right. You're motivating me now. I feel, you know, obligated that, you know, a conference and a summit and expo all do have to happen. And I don't know how, you know, we'll find a location. I don't know how it'll be financed, but, you know, it's so necessary that it has to happen. So,
yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, we need to get away from this idea that, you know, well, there are a lot of animals suffering, so we've got to do something for them today. Well, yeah, we can do something for them today, and it shouldn't be welfare reform campaigns or single-issue campaigns. You know, because that's another problem. I mean, you know, they have all these campaigns, all this energy goes into these single issue campaigns. You know, there was recently one in which there was a contest to see who could, you know, a squirrel shooting contest in upstate New York. And, you know, and it was a very nasty campaign in which the folks who were involved with this were characterized in very negative ways as rednecks and whatnot. But, you know, what's the difference between, you know, people who go out and and shoot squirrels, and people who go to the store and buy meat? Or what's the difference between, this contest was for the purpose of raising money for a fire department. Well, what's the difference between an event in which people go shoot squirrels to raise money for the fire department, or where there's a barbecue or a pig roast or something like that? We need to get animal advocates away from the idea that if they want to help animals, they have only two choices. They either do welfare reform campaigns or they do these welfare single issue sorts of campaigns.
We have to take a break, Professor Francione. We have a few more minutes left after the break on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. If you missed any of our discussion, the program is archived at goveganradio.com. Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On next week's program, it will be support your local vegan restaurants. And if during the course of this week you'd like to put it on my Twitter at goveganradio or email me, Bob at goveganradio.com or goveganradio with Bob Linden on Facebook, let me know what your favorite vegan restaurant is nearby and some of the reasons why. And maybe we'll talk about them on the show next week. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione. And I love it, Gary. When people say to me, oh, everybody's not going to go vegan tomorrow, so blank, blank, blank. And yet, I've run into people who I hadn't seen in 2 years, and the guy said to me, when you first mentioned it to me, I thought you were crazy, but I've since gone vegan. So, let it sink in a little bit. Maybe they won't go vegan exactly tomorrow, although I do have people telling me from the 4-minute commentary on KPFA, they go vegan. I mean, it's like, just put the information in front of them. Plus, whatever people seem to be wanting now, improvements for animals, never happen now anyway. You want more room in cages? It doesn't happen now. It's a promise in 15 years that won't even happen then, I don't get the timing of this.
Yeah, I think that's very important to emphasize, that people know that the sorts of welfare reforms that they're supporting now will not help under the best case scenario, even if they became effective relatively soon, would not help any of the animals alive now. But most of these things are phased in, if at all, over a period of 10 years or 15 years or whatever. And all that's happening in the meantime is that people are claiming, look what's happened in California, with Proposition 2. It's as if now there are articles showing up about how wonderful it is for the animals in California. All this stuff does is to make people feel better about consuming animals. And
Prop 2 doesn't even go into effect, and it doesn't go into effect until 2015. And there are articles in the New York Times saying that chickens have it great now. We wish we all could be California chickens.
This is really nonsense, and it's not. It really is complete nonsense. And so I think it's important to get away from this idea that we have to do welfare reform or single issue campaigns, and those are our only two choices, or else we do nothing. This idea, the animal groups do a fine job of promoting the idea that people like you and me are saying we shouldn't do anything to help animals until everybody goes vegan, and that's absolutely ridiculous. What we're trying to do is get people to go vegan, get people to stop demanding animal foods, get people to see that animals are members of the moral community, get people to see that animals aren't things. And that's what we're trying to do, and that's the only way we're going to shift the paradigm, Bob. It's the only way we're going to change things for animals, is by getting people, increasingly larger numbers of people, to see that consuming animal products is simply not consistent with regarding animals as members of the moral community, and we've got to stop it. Because this idea that happy exploitation is going to lead to no exploitation is nonsense. The idea that by focusing on communities that have squirrel shoots and making fun of those people and whatnot, the idea that that's going to lead to anything that's going to be useful is nonsense. We have got one goal that we need to focus on, and only one goal, and that is as long as people are eating them, wearing them, generally consuming them, nothing is going to change. We've got to shift that paradigm. We've got to change the conversation and focus it on animal use and focus it away from issues of treatment. And we can do it. As I stated before, you and I constantly have the experience of having people say, you know what, I never thought about it that way, and I'm going to go vegan. You know, no one's ever, I've been a member of these organizations. I had somebody tell me the other day, I've been a member of this particular organization for 20 years, and no one's ever told me I needed to go vegan. What they say is, as long as you're veg, as long as you're vegetarian, you don't need to go vegan, that's enough. That, yeah, if you want to go vegan, that's better, but staying non-vegan and being vegetarian is enough. And if you tell people that that's enough, that that's all they have to do, you know what, Bob? That's exactly what they will do, and they won't do anything more.
Mm-hmm. I just had somebody.
I hate to sing the praises for other people doing work, Bob, but I want to tell you right now, I will support your efforts to have this alternative conference, and I promise, Bob, I will be there.
Okay, well, I'm telling people, save the dates March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015. I know that's when it's spring break for Rutgers Law School, so that's why I'm trying to plan around it.
I'll be there, I promise.
We're working on it. Thanks, Gary Francione, and we will talk to you next week. It's Go Vegan Radio at goveganradio.com.